we're up to Pasuk Zayin, but let's review for a moment Pasuk Vav. I want to just go over one last thought. So it's Perek Ches Pasuk Vav. The Pasuk says, Ki l'chol chefetz yesh eisu mishpat. Perek Ches Pasuk Vav. Ki l'chol chefetz yesh eisu mishpat. Ki ra'as adam rabba olav. So we learned yesterday just to basically review the Malach Leis in Rashi and the Targum. The Mitzudos and Rashi, Lashita Sayu, always translate the word chayfetz as a will, a desire. A desire. There's a time in the Mishpat, according to the parish of the Mitzudos, a very controversial thing, his interpretation was, there's a time when a person should do an Aveira. There's a time... So Mish, to review very quickly, Pasuk Vav in the Mitzudos, just to review what he said. The Mitzudos Pasuk Vav, he said.
Mitzudos David.
There isn't. Yeah, you're right. Esu mishpat. What happened to Pasuk Vav? Esu mishpat. Kiras adam rabbelo. Okay, you're right. There is no parish. Okay, let me go see. I'm missing indeed. Let me see.
That's hay.
Okay, shomer mitzvah pasuk. The mitzvah star pasuk gimel pasuk.
On the bottom left.
On the next page Sadi Dalet. Page Sadi Dalet. Ki l'chol chayfetz l'chol rotzayin hamelech. Okay, so Chazar from yesterday. We did this yesterday. Ki l'chol, he always translates the word chayfetz as a desire. There is a time when a king wants to do something. L'chol rotzayin hamelech yesh eis mosai roi l'shmoya elecha u'mishpat mahu dvar haminik hamelucha she roi l'shmoya elecha. The melech here refers to the ace, the chayfetz, is the desire of the authority. The melech basar vadam. There are times when the king of the government wants to enact takanos. So the question is, should we, the people, follow the leader? Should we follow what the king says? So according to the mitzvot, not always. That's what he seems to be saying. There's a rotzon for the king when yesh eis, there's a time when his will is proper. And therefore the people should listen. Mishpat, mishra means there are enactments, edicts, proclamations, decrees, laws, which are passed, which are promoted by the authority, and there are things which are very proper, which we should listen to. There's an ace, there's a time to listen to the king, and there's a mishpat, there are laws that we should listen. Ki ro'as ha'odam rabba olav, which chazar from yesterday, because ro'as is another word for knowledge. And the question is, when should a person decide now is a good time to listen? Now this law indeed is a proper law that should be obeyed. Well, it all depends on the person's intellect. You need deep thought, deep knowledge. Translate the word ro'as as if it said da'as. That's how the Mitzvah translates the word. The word ro'as and the word da'as are the same exact thing. He quotes a pasuk in Tehillim that says the word ro'as comes from the notion of knowledge. Look at the Mitzvah Sion. In yonei machshava. Kimo binsa knowledge lirei to my thoughts. And then in the Mitzvah David he elaborates, he says, kidas adam. When a person will delve deeply, will think very deeply about the decree, the edict of the king, he will come to a decision when is a good time to listen, and if the decree indeed is worthy of it being obeyed. I read the words, Kikasher, Machshava, Machshava, Slave Adam, Gedoyle, Olav. When a person is in deep thought, Rotzolaymar, Kasher, Yamik, Ha Adam, Bemachshava, Salev, Beyuna. When a person delves deeply into a matter, Oz yaskil v'yavin mosai hu ho'eis umahi dov devar hamish. Then a person will understand when is the proper time to obey and what is the matter that a person should listen to the king. So this is the interpretation of the Mitzudos. The Chavetz is the will. We're discussing the will of the king. an ace, there's a time to listen, a time, a mishpat, a law that is worthy of being listened to, and it all, when, how can a person make that decision? When he delves deeply into the matter, because we take the word ra'as as knowledge. Rashi disagrees with the mitzvot on many accounts. The only thing that Rashi agrees with the mitzvot is that the translation of the word chafetz means will, desire.
But, how is this different than paragimel?
I don't know. There's a lot of repetition. There are a lot of thoughts. In the sefer that appear to repeat themselves many places. How do you? I don't know the answer. This is where you separate the men from the boys. Get someone who really knows Kohelis, which is not me, obviously, was able to understand the big picture. You know, you can take a pasuk, you can analyze a pasuk, and the pasuk look at the mitzvahs, the rashi, and the targum. But there's another level of understanding where you look at the pasuk within the context of the perek. And first of all, the parakim, who told us that these are the parakim are the correct parakim? The parakim, the breaks, the chapters are not necessarily correct.
Okay.
Maybe
not necessarily correct.
Who decided that this is Perikhes? When you have Perikhes, of course, it's done by the Christians.
By
Goyim.
Chumash
also, the Tanakh was everything. So therefore, just because we begin Perikhes, who told that Perikhes now is beginning a new thought, a new chapter? Not necessarily. And what does it say there?
No, I don't see it here according to what we just read.
Okay, I don't know.
Where's Mechol? So ask him, where does it say her?
You have to ask him. Yeah, you have to ask. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. Okay, Rashi gets to review it. Rashi.
Your civil disobedience.
No. I don't think so. Just saying is that sometimes you should take more. You should take it even more seriously. In halacha. Okay.
He's saying
over here, Dr. Friedman is saying when there's a conflict in halacha.
It's not civil disobedience when there's conflict between halacha and the statutes.
Over here, he's discussing when they're according to the mitzvahs, when there's a conflict. Not all the time. You have to know when you say Dina Malchus Din. You don't always say Dina Malchus Din. If the Dina Malchus says you're not allowed to do Bris Mila, you listen to the government. If the government says there's no Bris Mila, it's not healthy to do Bris Mila. No, it's Aser. Does that mean that a Shomesh Torah Mitzvah has to obey the government? You have to find a solution. And if you can't find a solution in this government, a peaceful solution, you may have to leave this country to fulfill the mitzvah.
Obviously, like in Russia, they learned Torah.
Well, they wouldn't let you go. Here, you didn't have a choice. The government, they're not letting you out. But every situation is obviously different. But sometimes the question over here is, if the government passes laws which are connected to Torah, are you mechuyev on a very simple level to obey those laws, even though they are a violation of halacha? So basically, there's a principle called dina de malchus dina. 99% of dina de malchus dina relates specifically to dina min moinais. Matters of money. According to the halacha, there's a dispute between two parties. So can Reuben sue Shimon? According to halacha, many situations, a lot of the civil cases of a lot of the cases where one person sues another, you're not mechuyev up halacha to pay the other person according to halacha. But din de malchus din allows Reuben to sue Shimon for $1 million. If the government says you have to pay the money, you have to pay the money. Din de malchus adina. So the question is, when should we, an observant Jew, obey those laws? And when is an observant Jew mechuyev not to obey those laws? Now, when it means not to obey those laws, that means either pack up your bags and move to another country, assuming they'll let you leave the country. So the answer over here is ki l'chol chafetz, for every desire that is issued, but that is directed by the authorities, yesh there is ace. There are times in history when it is proper to observe those laws, even if they disagree with the Torah, umishpat, and that the name. There are certain laws which are proper. When will? How do you make that determination? When it's proper? When it's not proper? That takes a lot of clarification. That's the end of the pasuk. Ki ra'asa adam, the knowledge of man, rabba olav, when it increases, when a person delves deeply into the matter, he will be able to make that determination when is the ace and the mishpat. Okay, is that clear?
Yeah. Oh, I have some questions.
Okay, that Rashi is a little different. Rashi, we learned yesterday, chayfetz means, chayfetz also, Rashi agrees that chayfetz means dezaber. We're not discussing the melech. We are discussing an ordinary citizen, an ordinary person. He has a desire to do what? To do aveiros. For every sin, for every desire to sin, Hashem will catch up with you. Don't think you will escape HaKadosh Baruch Hu's claws. Rashi, to review from yesterday, the key point is a person does aveiros and he transgressed the mitzvah. Yesh, ace li para umishpat uparanas muchenes, Hashem will ultimately punish the person. When will Hashem punish the person? This is a very powerful principle. We had this many times. Ki ra'as adam. Rashi is not learning like the Mitzudos that ra'as means knowledge, but ra'as means evil. When a person's sins have filled up the measuring utensil. Hashem has patience. Hashem does not punish a person immediately. Hashem allows a person to reflect upon what he has done. And when the sin accumulates to a point where it's intolerable by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is when he is punished. This is the principle called Nesmala Hasa. Now we also have to remember, we have many places in the Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not use the rule of Nesmala Hasa for Klal Yisrael. Because if Hashem would use the rule, now I will explain what that means in a moment to put that in context in this pasuk. But by the umo sa'olam, Hashem allows them to sin for many, many years, and then nismale haso, the measure is full, and then Hashem punishes them. But when He punishes them, the punishment is so severe, there is no recovery. There's a complete obliteration, a complete chorban. Ma'ase Sodom, Hashem allowed them to accumulate their sins for a number of years, and then they were wiped out. By Klal Yisrael, Chazal say Hashem never allows it to be nismale haso. Hashem punishes little by little. You do a little avera, punish right away, in order to prevent that the person's sin measure should be filled, so that when a person is punished, he will always be able to recover. So the question then is, how does that Chazal fit with what it says here, that there is a principle called Nesmala Hasa? So either you could say that in Echonami, this pasuk is not referring to Klal Yisrael. This pasuk is referring to the Umo Sa'olam. And what's the proof? It says here the word Ho'odam. See, we're going to have soon another pasuk that compares Adam to Adam. Chazal tell us that the word Adam, Atem Kruim Adam, Ve'ein Umos Olam Kruim Adam. Sometimes in Tanakh it says the word Adam without the Hey Hayidiyah, and sometimes it says the word Ha Adam with the Hey Hayidiyah. The word Ha Adam with the Hey Hayidiyah refers to the Umos Olam. It refers to mankind. Okay, so it depends where you have to. Okay, it depends where. It is a general Maimon Chazal. Atem kiruim adam ve'ein umos olam kruim adam. So Chazal, whatever it says with adam without the hey hayidi, it refers to the umos olam. Wherever it says adam ha adam. However it says Adam without, however it says Adam without the Hey Hayidiyah, it refers to Klal Yisrael. Wherever it says Ha Adam with the Hey Hayidiyah, that refers to the Umos Solam. So here, what does it say in this pasuk?
That sounds
right, because you would assume that the Adam is the Hey Hayidiyah,
right.
the perfect man.
Right.
Okay, I don't know the answer. Why is that so?
Or why at the end?
Kizek kol ha'adam. Okay, I don't know the answer. Why is that? So maybe it's because ha'adam refers to man. Adam is a more refined. Klal Yisrael is not. See, ha'adam goes back to the Adam Harishain.
Yes.
Adam Harishain is the father of all of mankind. Klal Yisrael, they are an outgrowth. They're an offshoot. They are refined. They're not.
the whole mankind. Ha'adam is Adam Harishon. He's mankind. Klal Yisrael, there is selection. They are a refined version of man. Okay, he's asking a question, I don't have a good answer, but this is what Chazal say. Therefore, this question I just asked is not a question anymore, because look what the pasuk says. It says here, Ki l'chol chefetz yesh esu mishpat, ki ro'as ha'adam rabba olav. When does HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish man? Rashi says, when it's rabba olav, nismale hasa. When the measure is full. When the measure is full, Hashem brings punishment, and Hashem completely obliterates. That's the principle. The punishment is full, the measure is full, and Hashem brings punishment. And normally in Chazal, this means there is obliteration. When nismale hasa, and punishment comes, it's a complete destruction beyond the point of return. That, Chazal tell us, is not true with regard to Klal Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu always wants Klal Yisrael the ability to rebound, to recover from chet. Einochinami. Here, we're not dealing with Klal Yisrael, we're dealing with mankind. And the proof is, because the pasuk says, Ho-Adam, and not Adam. Okay, that is Rashi. And Rashi says, "Kasher Rabba Ras Adam v'Sasa Gedusha Azba Pekudasa V'Chi V'Chi." Is when? When is a person going to be punished? When is the Ace Umishpat? When is the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning for man? When Kasher? When his measure is full? Kamo Ki Yelahem Dover Boilai Ki means when? Then we learned the Mitsudos. The Mitsudos. Then we learned the Targum. The Targum says the Koychav Tzila. He says, just to run back into the Targum, this I really wanted to point out, we did this very quickly yesterday, this part, in Pasuk Hey, and the Targum said, Gevar dinater pikdona, no, not Pasuk, Pasuk Vav, what am I saying? Pasuk Vav, Arum, Arum l'chol iska. So the first point to take note of is that according to the Targum, the word chefetz does not mean desire. Chefetz means matter, an esek. For everything, for everything in this world, there's a good time and there's a bad time. We discussed this yesterday. Every business, every action, every business decision, everything a person does, es hakol osa yofe bi'ito. If you make the same decision to buy a stock, well, if you buy the stock yesterday, today you're a millionaire. If you buy that same stock today, you're a pauper, right? Everything a person does in this world, it's good in the right time, and it's not good in the wrong time. Then it says, V'al din kishot it don kol olma. The world is judged. Emes, this world is a perfect world. Don't think for one moment that the world is corruption in this world. Hashem is the Dayon Emes. Everything that Hashem does is with truth. And then the Chadis Gezar min kodem Hashem l'mehavei put on us ba'olma al choyvas enoshin. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides there shall be peronis, it's when Hashem decides there shall be punishment in this world, you should know it's because ro'as ha'adam rabo olaf. Everything Hashem does in this world is done with precision, with emes. And if you do see that in this world there is churban, there is peronis, you should know, you want to know why, it's because it's man deserves to be punished. The chi is gezar min kodam Hashem limhevei puranusa ba'omo al. It's because choyvas enoshin of day bisha disagiin aleihon. It's the evil deeds of men which are very great and have brought it upon himself. The ro'as ha'adam rabba olav. The multitude of sins have brought the punishment and the hardship upon the person himself. And there's just a medrash, there's a medrash that takes this pasuk a little bit differently and says that the ra'as ha'adam, not the ra'as ha'adam, the ace, this is a very fascinating medrash. A god aspiracious, ki l'chol chefetz yesh ace umishpat. I'll read you the words. L'chol davar nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu zman ve'eis chutz min ha'tzfila. Everything in this world has a set time except for tzfila. E'mosai she'yispalel na'aneh. When a person should daven. Shenemar. Hilchol chayfetz yesh esu mishpat. Lama sheilu hoye adam yodea imosai hu mispalel. The naane hoye maniach kol hayamim velo hoye mispale el baos hayayim. Amar kadosh baruch hu lefichach eni modia lecha imosai ata naane kidei shetehei mispalel b'chol shosh nemar bitchu voy b'chol es. So the point the Medrash is making is, it says here, okay, it's not really, I don't know how he reads it into the Pasuk. Ki l'chol chayfetz, chayfetz means davar. But tefillah is not called a chayfetz. That's what he seems to be saying. The Medrash seems... objects, but not koyach hatfila. We're contrasting the koyach hatfila and the koyach of action, decisions. When a person davens, it's not a guarantee that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to his prayer. And part of the mystery of this world, the way Hashem said the world, is a person does not know the day when Hashem will listen. There's an eis rotzai rule. What? Answer. Hashem will always listen.
Right.
But he does not know when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer him. Therefore, because you do not know when Hashem will answer you, you have no choice but to daven every single day. Because maybe that day will be the day when Hashem will answer you. So that's what the Medrash says. Yeah, so you have to know what the Medrash means. It's a very dangerous Medrash. I'll take my chances, right? Today, I'll take my chances. Today, I'll do once a week. Mustamo, every once in a while on Tuesday will be a good day, right? If you do every single Tuesday, you'll hit the jackpot one day. It doesn't work like that. Obviously, all of the times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not answer your prayer contributes to that day when Hashem will answer the prayer. But it's not something that you can expect instant results. So the way the Medrash learns is, ki l'chol chayfetz, every, as Rabbi Nechemiah said, every tangible thing in this world, with translating chayfetz as an object, a physical, tangible, materialistic object, yesh esu mishpat. You can make a determination when is the proper time. But when it comes to things that are intangible, like the koyach of tefillah, Hashem mysteriously hid this, disguise this from man, that he should not know when is the time when Hashem will accept his prayer for man's benefit, that he always should be on guard, always should come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the koyach HaTfilah. The benefit of tefillah is not that, just that you answer, that's what the Medrash is really trying to bring out. The benefit of tefillah is not that Hashem answers your request. The ultimate benefit of tefillah is that you come close to Hashem, even if Hashem does not answer your request. The hiskarvus to Hashem is a benefit in and of itself. And that's why Hashem has hidden from us the time of the answering of tefillah. You look disturbed.
Well, if I want to come close to someone, you assume it'll be reciprocal. Here you're not.
That's by human beings. That's by human beings.
Back off.
Look, parent and a baby. Does the parent expect a child, an infant, for the child to reciprocate? You give and give and give and give. What? So
are we
a bar? So. It's still the parent has hana in giving to the child. So it is a benefit for man, for a human being, to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if Hashem will reject our prayers. Just the fact that we are able to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that itself is a benefit. Therefore, even though the primary purpose of tefillah is Hashem should answer our requests, but there's another benefit of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu disguised from us, he hid from us the time when he'll accept our prayer, in order that we should continuously be misspelled. We have the same thing when it comes to tshuva. Hashem hid from man the moment of death. Why? Because if a person knew when he would die, he would delay doing tshuva until the very last moment. So since a person in the back of his mind knows that he can die at any moment, it could be tomorrow, I might as well do tshuva today, because who knows when my end will come.
There are a lot of things like that. We don't know the scar of mitzvah for the same reasons. We don't know.
So we should not decide, I'll be the big ticket mitzvahs and not the little mitzvahs. So I think similarly, that's what it's saying. When it comes to chayvetz, means tangible things which can be assessed. But when it comes to the spiritual matters, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hidden from man in order that man should continuously strive to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk Zayin. Ki einenu yodea ma sheyihiyeh. A human being has no knowledge of what's going to be in the future. And when it happens, who's going to tell him that it has happened? Now, what does this mean? Let's see the Mitzvot Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk says, Ki inini yodea, rotzo loymar. This needs some clarification. Ki b'tchilas hamachshav, when a person begins to think, when a person begins to plan to do something, ein ha'adam yodea lahaskil ma sheyiye lo acharayna. There's no way of making a knowledge if this venture will be successful. Lamandas mimenu ha'esu mishpat, going back to the previous pasuk, to know the esu mishpat, the proper time to do it, and if it's and if it's worthy. Ki kasher yiye rotzo loymar, v'af im yaskil. So he interprets it as follows. Even if a person is extremely knowledgeable, brilliant person, and is able to delve into the matter deeply, and is able to determine that this venture will succeed, that's just a general idea. You know generally you'll have profits, but you're not going to know the details. You're not going to know the details. The devil is in the details. Mm-hmm. Even if you're brilliant, you can predict, you can forecast success. You cannot forecast the details. Kasher yiyu be'emes be'es hayutan, when it comes to be. Ki machsheve slave lo sagid kol zel odem tilas machsheve. The thoughts of a person cannot forecast, cannot predict the details. Ki im achar ho amkos hamachsheve be'in rav. Oz yaskil v'yoven es kol eile. After depth, you will understand all of this. Ulufiyin yuchal ladas. Wait, what did he say over here?
After you delve
into a matter, be'iun rav, oz then yaskil v'yovin es kol eile, you'll understand all of these matters. Ulefihen yuchal lodas ho'etz u'mishpat. I don't know, he seems to be repeating himself at the beginning of the pasuk. I'm not exactly sure how this is different than the previous part of the pasuk. But the basic idea of the Mitzvah is, the way you learn the pasuk is, ki inin yodeh mashiyah, you don't know what's going to be. The average person who lacks deep intellect does not even know if he will succeed. And even, you have to add all of these extra words into the pasuk, according to the Mitzvah, and even if you are knowledgeable of what will happen in the future, there's no way you can know ki kasher yiyya, what will the details, you have to hear those words, the protein, the details, that miyagilo, there is no one that can tell you what will going to, what's going to be, as far as the devil is in the details. Okay, that's a very...
I think it just means that from a cursory perspective, you're not going to know what the future is.
Okay, but
if you delve into it, you might know.
But he goes on to say.
Really?
But he goes on to say, but avol mi yagid lo perote hadvarim kasher yiyu beemes beesayutan.
Yeah, but then later on he says.
Oh, so I don't know what he's saying of it. Maybe there's some. I don't know. This doesn't make any sense. This
plan for the future.
You do the best you can.
You do the best you can.
Do the best you can.
Knowing I'm blind, but you do the best.
There's no, so he's saying that if you're very, it's not totally blind. You know, you'll have profit.
The dark word.
What? You know, if you have an analysis, you definitely know you'll make a profit. The only question is, will I become a multimillionaire or will I just make a bare bones parnasa? You know, if you go into a certain profession, the statistics are, if you get a degree in this field, you'll make a parnasa. There are people in this field that make millions, and there are people that just barely break even. But the statistics are, you'll at least break even. So that's what it's saying is, no one knows what the future brings. But if you delve in, ki ra'as ha'adam, he's going back to the Shitasa, ki ra'as ha'adam rabbe olaf, which we translate as kidas, the knowledge of man is when it's rabbe olaf, it can tell you, give you a basic guide of success, but the details of success, that he says, masheyeh, ki kasheyeh, but what will be in the details? He's eating those words into the pasuk, mi yagilo, there is no one that can make that determination. Let's see Rashi. Pasuk Zayin ki einenu yodeh mashiyah. So Rashi is also following his previous opinion that we're now referring over here to the deeds of the wicked. Kishe harasha oyver aver einenu yosin lev lama shi lama shasira kadosh baruch hu lehaviu b'mishpat. A rasha does not know what punishment he is to expect, because if he were to know what is going to happen to him in the next world.
consequences. Because then no logical person, no normal person would do the Avera. The oy loy bekach, woe to a person does not realize the consequence of his actions, ki kasher yeh hapuranus, and then when ultimately he does suffer punishment, mi yagilo, limolech bo v'litol ilo etzo v'litol rishus, and when the punisher comes upon him, who is going now to advise him? I don't know what this means. Limolichlo, when the punishment comes upon him, who is going to be there for him to consult with and to give him advice? V'litol rishus, and ask permission. What do I mean? Permission from what? From Hashem. Please don't do this to me. Ki pesa pisom yivo enu. The punishment will come upon him suddenly. He's not going to have an opportunity to protect himself at the very last moment. A person does an Avera, he's bringing upon him Paranus. Woe to him, because there's no way to prevent, there's no turning back, there's no way to prevent the Paranus from coming, from stopping, because it will come upon him suddenly. Alright, that's the basic. What? Yes, so, but it's saying that he's not going to have someone to teach him at that moment in time how to do tshuva. It's too late, too little, too late. In Echanan, we want to do tshuva, but you need a lot of preparation, much achana to do tshuva. We have 40 days of tshuva before we come to Yom Kippur. So it's okay. This is similar. Let's see the Targum. The Targum of Zion says Arum lo soyi chakim. A person is not wise. Losa means not chakim mada asidlim heve b'sofa. There is no person that is wise to know what's going to be lim heve b'sofa alohi, what the end will be for him. Arum, because bi'idon dihe rava, at the time, now here's where he adds some elaboration, the time when it will be the rava min kodam Hashem le'avosha, when Hashem wants to bring harm upon a person, man who dechavele, who's going to tell him the secret? He just translating the, but he's not really eating very much. At least there's no person that's wise to know what the future will bring. And when Hashem wants to bring punishment upon a person, there's no one that can warn him, watch out. Watch out, you're in for difficult times. That's the way the world is. We don't know what the future will bring. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasukas. Ein Adam Shalit Varuach. A person does not have control Varuach over his spirit. Now we'll see what this means in a moment. Simply means a person cannot prevent himself from dying. A person's, the Ruach here simply means his neshama. His neshama is trapped in his body. There comes a time when the Malach HaMavet says, neshama, come with me. A person does not have power to withhold his neshama from departing from the guf. A person is not a ruler of a ruach over his neshama. Lichlo, to withhold es haruach, to prevent his neshama from departing. Now the pasuk simply repeats itself again. V'ein shilton b'yom hamaves. A person has no power on the day of death. V'ein mishlachas b'milchama. When it comes time to go to war, a person does not have the power to send a replacement. I don't want to go to war. It's dangerous. So you know what? Instead of me, why don't you go take this guy? This guy, let him be my replacement. I'll give you someone else and draft him instead of me. It doesn't work like that. And when it comes to going out to Hashem's Mulchama, when you go out to battle, when Hashem brings in this soyon upon a person does not have the power to say to Hashem, you know what, instead of giving me this nisoyon, why don't you bring this nisoyon upon someone else? When you're called for service, you have to show up. V'lo yimalid resha es be'olav, and wickedness, sins, is not going to. Now, seemingly, this part of the pasuk has no bearing and no relationship to the beginning of the pasuk, and that's the major difficulty here. Wickedness is not going to save you. Let's see the mitzudos. Let's see, there's a lot of going on here in the commentators. First thing first, pasuk ches in the mitzudos, David, shalit baruach. Einenu moishel al ritzoin shliach hamokoim haba litol es haneshama. Kilo yuchal levatlas ritzoin lichlo hamisa. So he translates over here the ruach. I would translate it really like what the Targum is going to say. It means the person's neshama, but here it refers to the ruach means the will.
just like in the previous pasuk, ki l'chol chefetz, the Mitzudas translated the word chefetz means desire. Here also he translates ruach with the same translation, the desire. Whose desire? The desire of Hashem. A person cannot change Hashem's mind. Einenu moshel, a person that cannot rule al ritzoyim, the will of the shaliach, hamakom, the agent of Hashem. The malach is here, the malach has a job, has a desire. You're not going to change the malach's mind. Habach, who is coming, litol es haneshama, to take away the person's neshama. Ki lo yuchal levatlas ritzoyinai, you cannot levatl the will, the ritzoyinai. That's what he translates. The rotzer, the ruach, is the will. The will of the shliach lichlo, to withhold es haneshama, to withhold the neshama, soich haguf, lebal yuchal lekachtu, said that he will not be able to take it. Next, ve'in shulton, ein hamem sholom mo'elis b'yam ha'maves, li notzel al yada min hamisa. The government can't tell the Malach HaMavis, I have a government exemption. I'm part of the government. The Malach HaMavis says, I'm coming to... diplomatic, exactly. There's no diplomatic immunity when it comes to the Malach HaMavis. He may have diplomatic immunity not to get a parking ticket, or that's the very big problem, right? That's one of the big problems they have in New York City, is that the diplomats, they can't give them parking tickets. They can park wherever they want.
They
what?
They don't have to pay.
They don't have to pay, so they can park wherever they want. It's an amazing, amazing thing in New York City.
You work for the city, you're saying?
It's a no, diplomat, no, people for ambassadors, people, the UN representatives.
Oh,
it's a real problem. Google it. It's a real problem. They can park wherever they want in every illegal parking spot, and there's nothing basically the city can legally do to collect the parking tickets. And they're trying to make laws and act some.
Go with the Malach HaMavis. I think the bar said, I forget which I'm wearing. He says, give me time to chazer over my
give me time, 30 days. All right, that's a different story. Okay, and he was able to push him off.
Yeah.
So the ain shulton, according to the parish of the Mitzudos, the word shulton refers to the memshallah in this world. The shulton, the melach, there's no, like he said, there's no diplomatic immunity from the Malach HaMavis. Next, the mishlachas b'amulchama, haneshek hamuchon b'eis hamulchama. Now here he says mishlachas. I told you a different interpretation. It means the representative. It means a weapon. Weapons are useless in war. You may have the most sophisticated weapons, cost millions of dollars. All these toys, these spy satellites, drones, satellites, lasers, Star Wars. Right, Reagan's Star Wars never came to be. Right, it never happened. His plan never able to too ambitious. A product was too. Now we have the Iron Dome. The Iron Dome, to some degree, really is fulfillment of Reagan's Star Wars project, to some degree. Right, so that's the truth though is the pasuk according to Mitzudos, mishlachas means weapons. The word mishlachas, look at Mitzudos Tzion, he translates mishlachas. What is this word? In yonai neshek, weapons, uchle zayin. Malachei ro'im. Mishlachas malachei ro'im. Mishlachas means the weapons of the malachei ro'im.
But
that's a word. So according to the Mitzvah, it means the weapons. It's not
going
to help. You have a war, you can have the most sophisticated weapons. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the weaker party to win, the weaker party will win. Now what does this mean, Resha? So here we also have a very unique novel interpretation. Resha means Hacharada v'habilbol. It means, it's a very strange word. Look at the Mitzvah of Sion. Resha does not mean wickedness, it means terror. When a victim is terrorized, the victim will say to the aggressor, it's enough. You've already won. Why do you have to kill me? Like that's what they always say in the news. If you let the terrorists scare you and prevent you from living your life, going about your life in a normal way, they won. So that's right. So they won. So give in. Surrender. Say to the terrorists, listen, you've terrorized us. We can't live out. We can't function. So at least don't kill us. if you've already succeeded in scaring us, you don't have to pull the trigger. The terrorist points a weapon at his victim. The victim is terrorized. So the victim will now strike up a conversation with the terrorist. I'm scared. Can't you see I'm shaking? I'm shaking. So you've won. So therefore, you don't have to pull the trigger. The terrorist says, sorry, buddy, I'll pull the trigger anyway. That's exactly what it says. This, that the terrorist, the aggressor, macharid, he terrorizes, umafhil, and scares, es ha'imidolov, ha'charoda ha'hu lo yimoled es ba'olov miyad shliach. It's not going to save the victim from miyad shliach ha'mokim, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agent, from the Malach Ahuv, the Malach HaMoves, ha'bo lo kachas es ha'nefesh. This seemingly is every, the Malach HaMoves, before the Chazal said, when the Malach HaMoves comes to take a person, the person sees the Malach HaMoves, he sees the tipa, the drop that drips from his sword. So you can't argue with the Malach HaMoves, you've already scared me, so that should be my kapara, you don't have to take my life. It doesn't work like that, it's going to happen anyway. So according to the Mitzvah, review the pasuk outside, it's a very powerful pasuk. Ein Adam Shalit Baruch, a person has no Shlita. The first word, Baruach, it seems the word Baruach means over the will of the Malach HaMaves, who is the Shliach, Lichlo, to withhold Es HaRuach, the Neshama. It would appear from the Tzumtzuta Stav, he's taking the word Ruach, there are two words Ruach. There's Baruach, and there is HaRuach. The Baruach means the will. A human being has no power to change the desire of the agent of Hashem to withhold his neshama. Horuach is his neshama, like what his neshama from being taken away. Furthermore, the ein shultain b'yom hamaves, there is no diplomatic immunity. Shultain refers to the government. The ein mishlachas b'milchama, and weapons do not help in war. When the enemy comes to attack, you may have the greatest weapons. Maybe the weapons even refer to Torah. You have the greatest merits. What is the ultimate weapon in this world? Torah and mitzvahs. You have Torah and mitzvahs. Your merits will not save you. Doesn't matter. If Hashem decides the person's time has come, who was there greater than Moshe Rabbeinu? It didn't help. When the time came for Moshe Rabbeinu to leave this world, he left this world. When Aaron HaKohen's time came to leave this world, he left this world. All of your merits are not going to help. The weapons are not going to help Bil Muhammad. And if Le'imad Resha, don't think that the Bahola, the Charada, is a kapara for the Misa, it's not going to help as Ba'olav to the victim, the one that possesses this Charada, he still will be taken from this world. Very fascinating interpretation of the Pasuk according to the Mitzudos Tavit. Now let's see Rashi. Pasuk Ches. Rashi says, Ein Adam Shalid Baruach, Berucho V'Yitzroi Shel Shluchai Shel Makai. A person has no power over the desire, the spirit, and the desire of the Shluchai Shel Makom, which seemingly is exactly the same theme as the Mitzudos. Lichlo v'limnoya mimenu, to withhold es Horuach. Shebegufo is his neshama. Shlo yitlenu malach hamavis. Same exact thing. Two words. Boruach, Horuach. Boruach is the rotzain of the shliach. Horuach is the person's neshama. Next. V'in shultain shel shum melech, the authority of any king, nikar b'yoymoiso. So here it's a whole different interpretation than what the Mitzudo says. Even the greatest of the great has to suffer the same consequences as the most simple person in this world. Death is the great equalizer. Death does not distinguish between a king and an ordinary person. B'chol mokom atam motzei v'hamelech David. Throughout Tanakh, every time we refer to David, we refer to him with the title v'hamelech David. But when his time came to die, vayikrivu yimei David lamos. The famous Chazal, loyhuskar malchus kan. There's no mention of malchus. Even the melech, when it comes to death, it does not make a difference. Every human being is mortal and suffers the same fate. V'ein mishlachas b'milchama zu loymar eshlach b'ni oy avdi b'mikoymi. So obviously over here a different interpretation than the Mitzudos. The word mishlachas, as I said in the beginning when we translated the pasuk, simply means replacement. You cannot dispatch. You cannot send a different someone to represent you in this war of death. Don't take my neshama, take someone else's neshama. Now, we have that principle. We mentioned this in the Nusach HaTzfilah on the Yamim Noraim. Useshuva, Usefila, Utsedaka, Ma'avirin, Esroya Hagazera. So this is a very controversial idea, and really it's what Rashi really is alluding to, is that there's such a thing that if there is a gzera of Misa, if a person does not have the koyach to completely be mevatel the koyach of the gzera Misa, the very least you can do is have it sent to someone else. Who will get who? No, ma'avir means to pass over, not to be mevatel. So the koyach of ushuva usilu tzedaka, that will change the address of the gzar misa. The Malach HaMavis had a tzetel and says, go to this address, this location, and take the person that's living in this location. Take him to Shemayim. So through the koyach tzvila, you can change the address. You can't cancel the letter. You can't cancel the message. The message has to be fulfilled. The Malach HaMavis must come back with the neshama to Shemayim. What you can do is ma'avirin. Don't come to me. Go to someone else. Now, who would want? How dare? That's not proper to go. What gives you the right to cause someone else to die? So this is controversial. It means a person who is deserving of death, a wicked, wicked person who does deserve to die. It's just that, for whatever reason, he has been given a temporary dispensation. But now that I'm on the cutting board, I'm in the crosshairs of the Malach HaMavis, so maybe we can let the person, someone else who does deserve to die, an evil Russia at the other end of the world, who has done some terrible avera and does deserve to die. It's just that there's some reason holding him back. There's a terrorist out there in Russia. He deserves to die for whatever reason. The Malach HaMavis never got around to him. At least let's change the address that from the Malach HaMavis has that was meant for me, and let it be passed over to that other individual. Ma'avir. It's a higher madrega to cancel the misa, but if that cannot be, then at least let it go to someone else. And that's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. This pasuk says that if not, and obviously not, if not for shuva usilu tztaka, just dealing with ordinary gzar misa, there's no such thing as mishlachas, as sending a representative or replacement for you. Zo liachar, zo liachar, eshlach bini oyavdi b'mukami, I'll send someone else in my place. Give me an example. There's no such thing. Person has to.
Do you mind me asking who gives that interpretation? Mavin is right.
I don't know. I have a name for you. It's a common interpretation. It means to cancel. Ma'avirin simply means to cancel, causes to pass. But it's a deeper interpretation of the pasuk means ma'avirin. It goes to someone else. That's what kaparis is about to some degree. Kaparis is a very controversial minhag. It's getting more and more controversial every year.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you do with what I'm doing is that if there's a gzera of misa upon me, so let the gzera of misa go to the chicken. So when we shach the chicken, the misa was chala on the chicken. And then we'll give the meat also to aniyim, if it's stuck, it'll also enhance. Isn't that what kaparis is? Is that voodoo? Who gives you the right? What?
Maybe.
Who gives you the right to go and this mitzvah comes to me, we're going to give it to the chicken. What is that all about? But there is precedent for this concept. And it says, V'ein mishlachas ba'molchama is really what it's saying is it doesn't work. But if there is tshuva, silut staka, then maybe it does work. Okay, this is a very interesting idea. The Mitzudos David doesn't go for this. The Mitzudos David doesn't hold from this interpretation, because he says Vei Mishlachas means weapons. You can fight a war, you can have the most sophisticated equipment and weapons. If Hashem wants the weaker party to win, they'll win. Guerrilla warfare. The United States wasn't prepared in Iraq for guerrilla warfare. How many 3,000 soldiers had to die in Iraq, Afghanistan, because all of the tanks and the Humvees and all of the sophisticated drones and missiles can outsmart people who are suicidal and have different techniques in warfare. So that's what it says. The weapons are not going to help you. Okay, next. Now let's see the Targum. The Targum, he's really different. He has a whole different interpretation of this Pasuk. Pasuk Ches. He goes off the charts. Less enosh di yishloit biruach nishmasa. So right away the Targum says, don't tell me this business here that it means ruach, boru. There's a chilik between boruach and horuach. Like Rashi and the Mitzudas, one means rotzah and one means neshama. No, no, no. A beis and a hay is not going to make a difference. Okay, they both mean exactly the same thing. It means neshama. A person has no shlita over his neshama. The reason why the word is repeated twice is just stylistic reasons. It's poetry. Les and nosh de yishlod beruach nishmasa lenimna yosk nishmasa dechaye. A person has no control over his neshama to prevent his neshama begin the law yifsuk min gufa de enosha, that it should not leave his body. There's no way a person has no control over how long he lives. A time comes when the neshama leaves, whether you like it or not. There's nothing you can do in this world to keep your neshama in your body forever. So Mitzias, to all this technology and sophistication we have today, every person's neshama in his guf is limited. V'les shil toino b'yoy mosa. Now what does this mean? This person has no authority on the day of death. Lish she zovo givar l'chavre. Whole new interpretation. To save someone else. If a person senses that his friend is about to leave this world, I'll intercede. I will make a request from Shemayim. Let him live. Doesn't work like that. That's how ein shiltoy means. There's no. Doesn't mean the melech. According to Rashi and the Mitzudos, they were equal in interpreting the word shiltoy refers to malchus. No. We're not referring to malchus. We're referring to another person. Shiltoy means authority. There's no one, even a regular person, no other person in this world that has the power to intercede upon your behalf to make a change. Next, now when it says ein mishlachas. Okay, so that meaning this simply means without tefillah. Without tefillah. If what is tefillah? Tefillah means I'm a good person. There's tshuva. There's staka. It's an art. But just to say ribayin shalaylam, I don't allow this. I demand. I make demand. Who are you to make demands? Say please. Oh, you want to say please? Say please. Humble yourself. That already is the art of tefillah. Person does not have the power to save. L'shei zava means to save givar, one man, l'chavre, his fellow man. Next, what does it mean in the pasuk when it says v'ein mishlachas b'milchama v'les monei zayno misayon bikrava? So here the Targum is in agreement with the Mitzudos. It means weapons. Weapons don't make one bit of a difference in milchama. Obviously, that you have to take that in context. Obviously, the law yeshayziv next choiv yos morohi biyom dina rabba. Now, this is very bizarre. Obviously, until now, in the Mitzudas and Rashi, we're very disturbed. What it means, the law yimale dresha es ba'olav. Now, by the way, Rashi didn't even tell us what this means. Rashi is silent, which itself is a statement. Why is he silent? This needs bayer. This really needs explanation. What it means? What does that mean? Resha, wickedness is not going to save you on the day. It's not going to save you. Well, that goes without saying. What is? Of course, it's not going to save you. So the Mitzudos came to the rescue, and he says it means that. It means does resha doesn't mean wickedness. It means terror. It means bahala. Just because you're frightened, it's not. Just because you're frightened doesn't mean that the terrorist is not going to pull the trigger. He can scare you, and I'll pull the trigger. It's not going to make a difference. Targum translates it very simply, which also doesn't help us very much. V'lo yishezev choiv, sin does not save yos morohi biyom on the day dina rabba v'yom hadin hagadol.
It's also
posh. What does that mean? Also posh. What does it mean? So it's very, very difficult. Now, the only thing I came across which gives a little bit of a bayor is a maisa from the Gra. Here in the Sarasi Medinos, he has a Gemara de Gemaisa. A mais shahaya, there was an apikores, a mumar, a person who was from birth, a good man, and later in life he threw it all away. He went off the derech. And he did the worst averus one could imagine. One day he happened to be in the neighborhood of the Gra, and the Gra, they were together, and the Gra said to him, take a l'chaim. Take something. He was about to take something to drink. So the Gra said to him, make a bracha. Make a bracha.
He was in jail.
Was in jail? Is that where it was?
Yeah.
Could be. He says, make a bracha.
Jail, there was somebody there.
Oh, could be. So make a bracha.
Jail.
So this mumar, this person who knew better, who left Yados for many, many years, says, me make a bracha. I went off the derech 30 years ago. I threw it all away. You know the averus that I've done over 30 years? I should make a bracha. So the Gra said to him, when you come to Shemayim, you grew up in a home of Yirei Mushleimim. You know that you make a bracha before you take a drink. You're going to be punished for every time in your life you took a sip of water and did not make a shahakal. And don't think that you'll be punished for the sin of going off the derech. You know, going off the derech, you'll be punished. But once I went off the derech, I'm potter. I'll get the punishment for that, but everything else that I do in my life, the small things, I'm not responsible because I already left the fold. So that's the way it works. You're going to be punished for going off the derech. But you're also going to be punished like every other ordinary person that you could have been for not making a bracha and not doing every little mitzvah, for not davening, not putting on tefillah, not saying kriya shema, and not doing every little avera. You're going to be punished because you knew better. It's not an excuse for the little things just because you've done something big. And that's what the pasuk here means. V'lo yimaleit resha esbolov. When a person comes to Shemaim on the Yom Hadin HaGadol and they say to him, why didn't you make a bracha shahakol on a little whiskey when you were drunk, when you went into the bar and you did all your averus and they gave you a little thing to drink, why didn't you make a shahakol? Me make a shahakol? I went off to there 30 years ago. That's not an excuse. You'll be punished for that, and you'll be punished for this also. A person doesn't know better. He grew up in a home that's not Shemir Torah Mitzvos, so he doesn't know better. So he does major averos, but for the little averos, it's not as he doesn't know better. But a person who knows better, it's not an excuse, the big things you've done, to prevent you from the punishment of the small things that you have done. This, according to the story, this remark of the Gra made such a strong impression on this individual, he was Chayzer Bishuva. But it explains Pshat in the Pasek. It's a very very nice interpretation, which fits very well into the simple translation. You know, it adds well into the Targum, because the Targum says the Din Rabba. On the Yom Hadin HaGadol, in Shemayim, there's no favoritism. There are no excuses. We live in a world where we're blinded, because in this world there's always excuses, there's injustice, everyone is different. You can get away, even though we live in such a sophisticated world where there are cameras and there are recording devices and Big Brother is watching your every move. Yet, we get away with quite a bit. You can get away with quite a bit in this world. In Shemayim, it's not like that. Shemayim, you don't get away with nothing. Not a kutzo shel yud. Every single thing is gecheshbon. And don't say, I'm a Rasha, so just punish me for being a Rasha. Don't punish me for the little things. We'll punish you for being a Rasha. And we'll punish you for the little things also, because you'd know better. Powerful, powerful limud hamusar. Okay, let's go now to the next pasuk. Pasuk tes. Okay, pasuk tes, we only have a minute, so we'll just start it. Pasuk tes begins, good morning. Pasuk tes, es kol zero isi. Everything I have seen, v'nason elibi, and I've applied to mine, I've taken seriously. L'chol ma'asa asher na'aso, tachas ha'shomesh. Eis, what I have taken notice of, asher sholat ho'odom ba'odom liralo. When one man rules over another man, loralo, and it's not for his benefit. It's not always a benefit to control other people. We think that the more people you control, the way society is built is, what is a sign that you're successful? If people work for you, the more people that are under your authority is a sign of success. That is a toast, that is a mistake. There's a time when one man is rules over another, liralo, to his detriment. Let's look at the Mitzudos Pasuk Tes. Pasuk says, Es kol zeh he'amur lamata. Everything that we've said lamata, what we're going to say,
that we will say
below, we're coming to say in the next pasuk. Kol hamaseh asher nasari isi be'enai. I've seen everything. The samti libi, I paid close attention. Aleim lahavinam, to understand it. Tachas hashemesh rosolaymar bezeh ha'ilam eis v'hinei. Reisi vihivanti asher hazman hi shebnei adam. There's a time shebnei adam sholtim ze al ze la sois ro ze lo ze al ki hayecholas nosun biad haroitze lohara el hazulas. When one person controls another, he has in his power to cause harm to his friend, and this is something which is loralo. He doesn't say those words over here. It's something which is La sois ro zeloze. So he, Mitzudas translates the pasuk to mean, liralo means man controls his friend for the purpose of causing his friend harm. See, I translated the pasuk originally, which we'll come back to in a moment, that there are times when a person thinks he's successful. And the reason why he comes to that conclusion is because he's in control. I have employees. I pay them. I control them. I tell them what to do. Therefore, that means I'm a good person. I am a successful person. But he's fooling himself, because the fact that he's controlling other people means that he's an evil person. Because by controlling other people, you put yourself in a situation of great nisayon, and that more often than not leads to harm. You're doing harm to yourself. You're exploiting the weaknesses, the vulnerabilities of other people, and that will be a detriment to the person's neshama in the next world. That's not what the Mitzvah says. The Mitzvah says, I've seen people enjoy harming other people. People rise up, they become successful, and when they have power, they lechatchila, they deliberately, maliciously want to cause another person harm. Asher nase tachshem eis asher shalat adam. One man rules over b'adam, his fellow man. For what purpose? Why did I succeed? In order, liralo, I get a thrill. I get a high from torturing my employees. You see this. You see this in this world. You see people that are abusive. People, they thrive on being abusive. That's what it says, according to the Mitzvot. Rashi, Pasik Tes, Eskol Zeru Yisik HaOmer Lamala. Now, so Rashi right away says, Pumfakeh from the Mitzvot. He says, Lamala. The Mitzvot says, Lamata. He says, I'm referring to what I said before. V'noson Eli B'lcholamaseh. I've seen the fact that a person, what does it mean, Lamala? You can't control your neshama. You don't know when comes time to leave this world. There's no control. V'gam. Here is where Rashi wants also to come into line with the Mitzudas. I've also seen l'chol maseh b'nei adam nasati eslibi v'risi eis asher shalat adam b'chaveroi v'gavar olav v'soifai. Here's the way I explained it originally. V'soifai, by ruling over your friend, the end is nepach lira also. It's not to your benefit. And he gives examples. Amalek niskaber al Yisrael. Amalek ruled over Yisrael. And what happened? The sofa. What's the end of Amalek? The acharisso, ade ove, to utter destruction. V'chein Paro ruled over Klal Yisrael. Paro and his nation were destroyed. V'chein Nebuchadnezzar, v'chein Sanchedev. So there are times when one man tries to rule over his fellow man, but ultimately, l'ralo, that control, that authority leads to their destruction. Okay, we'll do the Metargum tomorrow, but I just want to point out one thing over here to fit into the words of Rashi. Here, notice there are two words. Ha'adam and Be'adam. Now, let's assume the Be'ez is not part of the word itself. Ha'adam, we just finished mentioning the previous Sukkim, that every time it says in Tanakh the word Adam, Adam is a code word for Klal Yisrael. Ha'adam, with a Ha'idiyah, is a code word for the Umos Ha'olam. So I've seen throughout history, Asher Sholat Ha'adam, the Umos Ha'olam rule Be'adam over Klal Yisrael. And this, that the Umos Ha'olam ruled over Klal Yisrael, was liralo, was for their detriment. Amalek was destroyed, Paro was destroyed, the Vuchanetzah was destroyed, Sancheriv was destroyed. So what Rashi says, Leralo, this fits very well. Again, that's not what the Metuda says. Metuda says Leralo means not that it turned into their detriment. It means that was their purpose. The reason why I rose to power was only for the purpose of Leralo, to enjoy abusing someone else. And that obviously is not a good thing. It goes on to say what their punishment will be. We'll leave that for Yirtz Hashem tomorrow.
I'm sorry.